Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I want to continue in this passage, and as the Lord leads. It was about a month ago that we began our first Sunday service talking about the soldiers, talking about the garment that Jesus wore, how it had no seam. And so we brought a message about that. Well, I want to continue in that same passage, and titled our message this morning, Near the Cross. Near the Cross. And although there was a lot of anger, there was a lot of hatred for Jesus, there were those that were the soldiers that had beat him, hung him to the cross with the nails. And we know that the thieves were beside him, one on each side. We know there was a lot of things that were taking place. And there were a lot of animosity. There was a lot of hatred. There was a lot of anger when it come to crucifying Christ. But there was also some individuals that were there that loved Jesus. And they stayed near the cross. And I believe that it's important for us to never lose sight of the cross, never lose sight of what was accomplished at the cross, never lose sight of the meaning of the cross, never lose sight of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. And our challenge this morning is to stay near the cross. So we begin reading with verse 25. Of John chapter 19, and the Bible said, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. And after this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with the vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it in his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we don't take this time lightly. We understand that it is a time that's appointed that we come and worship and fellowship and, most importantly, spend time with you. We ask, Lord, that you help each one that's here, that are struggling, that's going through difficulties and going through those storms that were just sung about. But, Lord, we pray we will find help as we stay near the cross. We ask your blessings on those that's on our prayer list. There's so many. Even those that are listening and watching this morning, they're hurting and they have requests themselves. But Lord, we ask that you intervene this morning in this service, and may we see Jesus. And Father, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, we ask that you touch that heart. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The cross is a place that we should never take lightly. The cross is a place that we should never take for granted. The cross is a place that we should never, or that we should never forget, and that we should visit frequently. The songwriter said these words, "Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand, just beyond the river. I often think about the cross myself. I try to envision with my feeble mind what it must have been like. There are times that I get overwhelmed with the anger that people showed towards Jesus, knowing that He loved me and knowing that He cared for me and that He's still caring today. And I get overwhelmed about all the good that He did and all the lives that He touched and all these things that had taken place, that someone would hate Him so much that they would crucify Him, even though there was no fault found in Him. And there will be never any fault found in Jesus. But I often think about the cross, and I often think about what was taking place and seeing the people that was there and what they might be doing, what might be on their minds. And I would consider for some the cross would be a place of helplessness. Helplessness. Watching what was going on, knowing that you could do nothing to help the individuals that were hanging there. And there were three, the Bible says. But the one in the middle was Jesus. And if we were to look at the cross this morning, we would envision the agony that must have been on His face. And I believe based upon what the Bible says about how they beat Him and stripped Him and plucked His beard and the crown of thorns and all those things, I believe that some wouldn't even recognize who He was. So the agony that was on His face, and to hear the crowd scoffing Him and mocking Him and questioning His authority and questioning, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And all these things were taking place. And then to hear His final words, as the Scripture says, "It is finished." You see, this morning, that should tell us and that should remind us that life is real and death is serious. Just like Brother Andy was talking about someone that he knew and a mentor that he had. I too had a coworker that I had worked with many years ago pass away, and his funeral is today in the Concord area. And the first thing that I thought of, because I had lost track of him and we hadn't seen each other probably in about 10 years. And the first thing that I thought of, did I give him enough in my life and what Jesus did for me to point him to Jesus? I don't know. I don't know about his life now, and I don't know his history. But I do know that he was on a ventilator this week, and they took him off that ventilator, and he didn't make it. So he took his last breath, and he's now in eternity. You see, that's the reason that we should take the cross seriously. Because the only hope is Jesus. Amen. The only hope that we have in this life and the life to come is what we do with Jesus. Knowing Him as our personal Savior, and yes, there's some difficulties that we face, and there's the life roads, and as I was mentioning in Sunday school this morning to my Sunday school class, you know, there's going to be potholes in the road. There's going to be things that we face, and there's going to be trials in our life, but what matters is not as much this life, but the life to come and what you've done with Jesus Christ. You see, the cross is a very serious place. And there are those in years gone by in the past, and you've seen it and I've seen it, where people make fun of the cross. But the cross is nothing to make fun of. But we should hold the cross dear because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and His shed blood for you and for me. But you know, I'm grateful this morning that it didn't end at the cross. Although Christ says it is finished, He knew and He knew what was going to take place. But on that third day, He rose. And we have hope this morning because He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He did it for you and for me. And we have hope this morning because Jesus died and He took our place. He became sin for us who knew no sin. But He knew that that was the only way. Whereas Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. But what went on at that cross? Why should we be near that cross? I ask us to search our hearts this morning and think of these and echo these words as the songwriter says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Keep me near the cross. And this morning, I would like us to focus on three individuals that were there at the cross, looking on. It wasn't the ones that were hating Jesus. It wasn't the ones that was bidding over His clothes. But it was three individuals that were near Jesus. It was three individuals that loved Jesus. It was individuals that Jesus changed their life. And they were there witnessing what had taken place. And I begin first this morning by saying, near the cross, we will find people with a changed life. We will find people with a changed life. The very first person that we mentioned this morning is found in verse 25. And the Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Who is this Mary Magdalene? Well, if we was to be there at the cross this morning in our minds, we would see a person that had a testimony of a changed life. You see, Jesus changed her life. Her life was full of wickedness. She had been possessed with 7 demons. She would have been one that would have no self-control, doing all kinds of things in her life. She would be one that would be living a life of destruction with no hope until Jesus came into her life. And you look at the things that's happening in the world today and we get so disappointed and it's so disgusting in our hearts at all those things that's taking place. But I say this morning, the only hope that people have is Jesus. That is the only hope that people have. And that's why it's so important that we stay near the cross to help others and point others to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus changed her life. Jesus changed her life. In Luke chapter 8 verse 2, the Bible says, and certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Only Jesus can change a life of destruction. And she was there. She was there at the cross. She was near the cross. And you see, He gave her a purpose. She now was living a life with purpose, and she followed Him. She followed Him to the cross. And we should never lose hope of those that are without Christ today, because He can change lives. You see, she became a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And we find that changed life that was near the cross. We find that changed life. She was one that was found at the foot of the cross. And the reason she was found there is simply because Jesus changed her life. And He's still making a difference in people's lives today. The second that we find this morning is someone else. In that same verse, the Bible tells us that Jesus' mother was there. And we call this to find near the cross, we find a committed life. A committed life. Who was this person that had a committed life? And it was none other than the mother of Jesus. And how that she had a committed life. She committed her life to Him when He was conceived. And you that are mothers, we just celebrated mothers. And you that are mothers understand how much you love your children. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was no different. She committed her life to Him. She committed her life to Him as He grew and as He, at a young age. She cared for Him. She nursed Him. She did everything that a mother was to do. She raised Him. And she watched Him develop. And she watched Him grow. She supported Him. And she was there found at the cross. She was committed to Him. But I want to read to you a passage of Scripture found in the book of Luke, starting with verse 46 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath granted me to low estate of this handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He shall show strength with His arms, and hath scattered the proud in imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath humbled His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He spake to His fathers Abraham and to His seed forever." Many would call that Mary's prayer or Mary's song. You see, she was that mother that loved Jesus, but Jesus was also her Savior. She had that mother's love, but she also loved Him as her Savior. You see, Jesus made a difference in her life as well. She was committed to Him. And even though the road became rough, and even though the rough became hard, and we know as we celebrate Christmas how that there were those, even Jesus at birth, they were trying to destroy. And she helped Him. She was found near the cross. And then the third person this morning is near the cross will find a caring life. A caring life. A changed life, a committed life, and also a caring life. We can learn a lot from caring. Verse 26 says, "When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciples standing by whom He loved, He saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. See, John was that disciple. John knew that he loved Jesus. And Jesus knew that he loved him. Jesus knew that John lived a life of faithfulness. Jesus knew that they were living in a careless society, much like today. They were living in a time period that showed no mercy. And you could look at the cross and see a society with no mercy. But John was one that was committed to care. And he did care. And Jesus entrusted him to take his mother because he knew John's heart. He knew John had a caring heart. So John took Mary. And he must have known, just by her countenance and just by her expression, he must have known how heartbroken she was. He must have known that she was brokenhearted and she would experience the loss of a child. You see, John being near the cross showed someone that cared. And John took her. And the Bible tells us plainly what had taken place. He took her into his home. And he cared for her. You see, they all three were near the cross. The changed life. You see, death can happen in just a moment. In all kinds of ways. We shared to you two individuals from two different backgrounds that died. There's going to be more. There's going to be more people that maybe you know. But what's going to matter is if a life is changed through Jesus Christ. You see, I rejoice when someone crosses into eternity knowing Jesus Christ. I rejoice over that. Not the rejoicing of the loss of a loved one or you know, the absence. Maybe I should say it's really not lost because you know where they are. But the absence of a loved one, you know, you don't rejoice of the absence, but you rejoice of the destination of that individual. That's what you rejoice about. You rejoice that you're going to see them again. You rejoice that they just got there first. You rejoice that they don't have to worry about the things that people worry about that gets people upset and gets people, you know, so many things are being worried about that really doesn't make any difference. But what matters is whether a person knows Jesus Christ or not. That's what we should be heartbroken about. People not knowing Jesus. We could take our life's last breath and a last moment. And if you don't know Christ, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. A changed life. Jesus can change your life if you allow Him in your life because He died for you. So as we do have a changed life and if we know Christ as our personal Savior, then I trust we stay near the cross. And then what about that committed life? You see, a committed life isn't something that is part-time, but it's surrendered. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be oppositions. You can expect it. You can expect there's going to be oppositions. You can expect there's going to be people that don't understand why we serve a risen Savior. There's going to be those that scoff and those that look and those that frown and those that question and all those things. But let me reassure you this morning that if you know Jesus, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Don't worry about. Look at Noah. How that Noah, and we brought a message recently about Noah and his faith and the fact that he built the ark and they hadn't even seen rain. But he kept building. He kept working. He kept serving because he was committed. We need to have that committed life. Let me tell you something. A committed life is well worth any sacrifice that you have to make. Because we're sacrificing to the one that died for us. The one that loves us. And the one that knows us and still loves us. You know, that's what is amazing to me, is that he loves me and still died for me. That he cares for me and still thought there was worth. You see, Jesus would have never died on the cross for our sins if he didn't think we were worth it. A committed life. And then a caring life. A caring life. You know, the best example of a caring life is Jesus himself. Jesus cared for so many folks. He sat with the publicans and sinners. He delivered those that were possessed with the devil. He fed the hungry. He changed the lives of individuals. You see, his whole earthly ministry was caring, and it continues on. Because the Bible tells us he cares for us. He cares. The best way to understand the care and a careful life is act upon what Jesus did. Show more grace. Show more mercy. Show more patience. Show more long-suffering. Show compassion. Show more love. Show more sacrifice for others as Jesus did. You see, John took the mother of Jesus and he took her into his home, and the Bible doesn't say, but think about it. What do you do when someone comes into your home? You take care of that person. That person becomes number one in that home. And I believe that John was no different. And as we draw close to the cross in our life, and as others see us close to the cross, because we see these three individuals, and there were others, but those were the three that I wanted to make mention to this morning. We see the Mary Magdalene that Christ literally changed her life from those devils that were in her. We see the mother of Jesus, and we see John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And they were there at the cross, along with all those things that was taking place around all those that hated, all those that were watching, all those that were scoffing, all those that were laughing, and all those things that were taking place. And they still had a changed life. They still had a committed life, and they still had a caring life. Amongst all those things. And we can do the same today. Amongst the hatred, amongst the anger, amongst all these things, if you know Jesus, you've already got a changed life. But now we can have a committed life and a caring life. And I ask you this morning, you can only evaluate your own life just like I have to evaluate my life. But let me say this, that God already knows us who we are. He already knows us. It's easy to put on a smiling face and smile and be cordial and all those things. But God knows the heart. God knows the heart. I ask you this morning, do you have that changed life? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And if you don't, I want to invite you to come this morning as we have our invitation here in just a few moments. But you that are saved, I ask the question, you see, you can't have a committed life until you have a changed life. You have to have the changed life before you can have a committed life. But I ask, have you given the Lord your life, and do you have that committed life as Mary took care of Jesus? Are we that committed to Christ? And do you have that caring life? And that's a tough one. That's a tough one to evaluate ourselves, because we think a lot of times I've done this and done that. And I don't know if it's as much as actions as much as treatment. How we treat others. Because John treated Mary like a mother. A changed life, a committed life, and a caring life. And the only way that we can have those three is being near the cross. And as the songwriter says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Amen. Keep me near the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the visit to the cross this morning. And the three individual lives that we pointed out, how that you made a change. And they made a commitment, and they cared. Father, you know the hearts of every person here. And Lord, there may be someone that just needs to come and pray and talk to you. There may be someone here that don't know Christ, that's never been saved. There might be someone that's watching this morning that's never been saved. I pray, Lord, that you'll talk to that heart and speak to that heart and cause them to realize the only hope, death is real, and the only hope is Jesus. Father, there may be some that just maybe aren't as committed as they used to be, or maybe would like to even be more committed. Help them to come, and Lord, we all can use a little bit more care in our lives. Father, bless this invitation, and Lord, we'll stand back, and if you've spoken to hearts, Lord, I know you'll nudge the folks to come. And Lord, we give you the praise. We praise you for the cross. We praise you for what was accomplished. We praise you for life. We praise you for salvation. And Father, we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. What